Hey, it's Bill Simmons. I wanted to tell you about a new podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. It's going to be on the Ringer Reality Podcast. What's it called, Johnny Bananas?
Death, Taxes, and Bananas. We're going to be breaking down this season of the challenge, Hall of Fame episodes, and I'm going to be taking you behind the curtain of America's fifth major sport.
Are we getting special guests?
We're going to have special guests. We're going to have special effects. The show's just going to be special.
I can't wait. Check it out. Death, Taxes, and Bananas on the Ringer Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
Hi, Dave.
It's Dave now.
I feel like we're close.
I walk into the gates of paradise and I see a man with long blonde hair. Thought it was John Paul Jones at first, but it is Dave Chappelle, right?
Welcome to Bachelor Party. It's paradise. Fun has been restored to network television. Man, it feels good. I'm Juliette Littman. I'm here today with my Ringer colleague, Nora Princiati. Hello, Nora.
Hi, Juliette. Thank you for having me.
It's been a while, I think since the beginning of Katie season, which honestly feels like a really long time ago.
A really long time ago, both just in the passage of time, but also in, I think, how we have been feeling about The Bachelor writ large recently. I know, I say that because I know I was really psyched after the first episode of Katie season because I was just happy to have so many of those characters back. And woof,
it was
that
a tough
wore
one.
Off.
It was tough. It's interesting. I was just catching up with the challenge and now we have paradise. And it's sort of like the purpose of like many reality shows now is just to sustain these more fun shows. Like the challenge has 9 people from Survivor on it. And like
right.
Paradise is now, this is like supersized paradise. It's pretty great.
Well,
I love
it. So then here's my question about that though, because I don't know if I'm just having the same feeling about Paradise that I had about the first episode of Katie's season. Like, I'm just ready to get hurt again and the same thing might happen. But I'm
let your
in.
Walls
like,
down.
I loved this episode. I
loved it too.
Probably more. And I don't believe that it's going to have the same drop off because, and I want to know what you think about this. Bachelor in Paradise is just like the number one now.
It's foolproof. It's just like a fun show. Even when it gets stale because there's so many couples, it's just fun. Like, it's great. So for this pod, we are going to go through all the people, characters, important moments from the show. We're going to do a little Bachelor in Paradise stock watch. Who stock has gone up, who's gone down, who's not changed, and who's just left us confused, because there was a few of those that we need to talk through.
What is going on?
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, I'm looking at you. Brendan, I'm looking at you. We'll come back to them. I mean, Kenny, we're all looking at Kenny, I think.
Kenny, I am not looking at because it makes me blush and cover my eyes.
The funny thing about Kenny is that, like, I think a lot of people have probably Googled to see his naked pictures. I mean, I know that, like, I know many people who have. So the black box thing was funny. I don't know. We'll come back to that.
Julia, anyway, this is having an asking for a friend vibe to it.
Oh, I mean, I Googled it. I'm okay. I have no problem admitting that. It's fine.
Kenny does not really do it for me, but admittedly, he's in very good shape.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, those pictures are out there. I don't know.
I know, but it's just, this is not what we came here to talk about. But like,
it's not.
The naked male body just sort of like in
hanging out, in photograph. Not appealing. This is actually anyway. Callie and I were kind of talking about this a couple of days ago about like male Instagram habits being very different from female ones, where like men follow hot women to like just sort of have like casual soft porn as they scroll through Instagram, where yeah. I don't think women use Instagram in the same way, but whatever. We're really getting
but it's
off
also
track.
Which is like because guys are gross, but it's also because like women are generally sort of like the female form has a beauty to it,
and
like
more
even, you know, I'm a straight curves. Woman like I don't really that's no thank you. It's not like it's
just the whole thing.
Afternoon.
That's why we're confused about Kenny. We're going to come back to it. Let's start with the show overall. So, Nora, you were saying you were feeling down at the end of Katie's season. It was a real wash my mouth out with soap to get rid of this taste in my mouth. End of the season. In general, were you excited about Paradise or are you just sort of like weary because of what we've been through?
I was excited. But I was a little weary until I watched the first episode. Now, like, again, I'm ready to get hurt again, but I actually don't think that I will. Because here's the thing, and, like, this is such an old fogey take, and I hate it, but I do feel it, so I'm just going to say it. Like, influencers and influencer culture, like, has ruined The Bachelor, I think, because none of those people, I do not believe that they are actually there because they think that they can fall in love there. And I don't care. Like, I am the farthest thing from the right reasons police. Like, I actually usually side with those people because I think the people who accuse people of like the whole thing with Thomas last season, I thought was ridiculous. Like, he was just being honest. However, I do think that people who think that they can genuinely find a partner and fall in love on television are far more interesting than people who want Instagram followers. Like, most people in 2021 want Instagram followers. So the heavier the ratio is towards the former, the more interesting it is on screen, right? And I think the ratio for the main show is totally, totally, totally screwed up right now. And it's a problem. Now, on Bachelor in Paradise, they are competing to find love, but they are also competing to keep being on screen and for screen time. So I don't think that ratio screws it up at all. So I don't think that problem translates. And I think that's why Bachelor in Paradise, like we were talking about how some of these reality shows exist to support other reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
I think The Bachelor exists to support Bachelor in Paradise.
Totally.
Rather than the other way around.
I think that's true. Also, there's a couple other reasons why like it doesn't really matter in Paradise is because I think people go just wanting to hook up more than anything else. Like they're just sort of like, we're going to all be hot on the beach together. And like the point here is just to like have fun and stick around. And so it's not even about finding love, but it's just about like pairing off. And like pairing off is just basically like, you know, then you have a steady hookup essentially. And it's just sort of like best case scenario summer fling, which is like very little effort, close proximity, you know, heavily sexual. And like maybe there's also a romantic connection. If so, wonderful. But that's not really the point of the show.
But the contestants actually want the prize.
Yes. Which is
like they're actually motivated to stick around. Whereas I think like I'm sorry, I'm already going to shoehorn my backdoor I hate Greg take. But like I firmly believe that Greg had absolutely no interest in Katie. And to me, that was very palpable where when he did that blow up exit, it was just like, oh, great. Yeah, you were faking this the whole time. So now you need to come up with something so that you don't have to propose to this person to carry on the facade. And satisfying television.
I think he got swept up in the show and then realized that he wasn't into it. And so he had to like orchestrate this big blow up. But I think he probably like wanted to win. Like, I don't know. I just know that I couldn't go on the show for so many reasons, mostly that I'm too old at this point. But like also because I would want to win. I would just be so pissed when like it would feel like hurt, but I actually would be angry if I didn't win. And so I think probably it's similar for a lot of these guys where like it's actually not really about the main person, but they get swept up in the show and like wanting to be the chosen one. And that's at least what would happen to me.
I absolutely agree that I think that happens to a lot of people. And I will hop off this point
absolutely after the sentence. I do not believe that's what happened to Greg. That was fake from the moment it started.
I don't know. Over the weekend, there was a big Bachelor in the City hangout. It was Peter and Dustin, Greg, Justin, Andrew, and Peter's dad, Owen Clay, Andrew's cousin, who's friends with Dustin as well. And they were like, all went out to like brunch. They were like biking around on city bikes together. They like went to a club. They were just like, they clearly were like just loving being a little famous. They posted a video singing Olivia Rodrigo in an Uber. I mean, yeah, they're getting after it.
Do you know where they went to brunch?
Ruby's. I don't even know what that is. I think it's somewhere downtown. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Be careful, New Yorkers. These people, they're out on the loose.
They're out and about.
So Bachelor in Paradise, stock up. Great, great stuff. Also, it was kind of crazy that it's been 2 years. 2 year layoff from this wonderful television show. Can you believe it?
I know. I was really happy to have it back.
Me too.
The only thing that I will say that feels like a little bit of a hangover from last season being weird, Bachelor in Paradise also needs a host. Like, everybody needs a host. We need an authority figure.
Okay.
Like, we need...
David Spade.
Yes, no?
David Spade, stock up. What do you think? Oh, no. I loved him.
Okay. David Spade as David Spade in the ecosystem that is David Spade, stock up. He was really funny. I enjoyed his screen time.
He was really funny.
I really, really, really enjoyed it. However, we need an authority figure here. On some level, even though it's Paradise, even though it's not the other show, on some level, we are talking about love. That is a central concept. This big, grand idea that everybody wants. We need an authority figure who knows what's going on and can just add some sense of cohesion and custom and just elegance to the entire operation. I think Wells would be up to the task. I think there's a lot to dig into here.
Very curious. What were you going to say about Wells? Because we have to talk about David Spade and Wells together.
Okay. I think they should flip them.
Mm.
Because I love that they have two people to sort of play off of each other and talk to each other. I think David Spade, as someone who's just like in the environment and there for commentary, that's awesome. But he doesn't know what's going on and he doesn't know how to keep the ship on course.
Sure. Well, he missed some entrances.
He had no idea what's going on.
He said Tajwan's name wrong, which I found, which I was like, that's a microaggression. Try to say her name right, man.
Yeah.
At one point they stopped showing the entrances and I was like, was it because they were really bad? Did David Spade mess them up? But that said, I liked how his catchphrase, like when he was trying to like fill the time, didn't know what to say. It was like, I don't want to slow you down and like ushered people off. I also liked how he was giving them a hard time. Like when he was giving Ivan a hard time about all the buttons unbuttoned on his shirt. And they kept like speaking about it in a really weird way when they were like, oh, one more button down. I was like, you guys, what's going on? That's not how you talk about the button on the shirts. But I thought David Spade was so much better than I was expecting. For me, it might be a matter of perspective. My expectations for him were so low. I was just like, this is a bad idea. No one asked for David Spade. I last saw him like sitting in a booster seat at Koi on La Cienega in LA like 2.5 years ago. Just like no one's been wondering what's up with him.
Vivid.
So then when he was like actually entertaining, and I also just thought like everything about his presentation was so funny. Like the way he was just wearing like Asics and like just sort of like regular sneakers on the beach was just like hilarious. And then David Spade being quasi bad at the job gave Wells purpose. Like Wells catching David Spade up, I thought was actually really fun. And I really enjoyed Wells. I would say stock up on him as well, because I felt like he had more purpose and like more of like a reason for being there than ever before. And I typically don't enjoy Wells, but I really liked this appearance by him.
Okay. So I like Wells. I've always liked Wells. And I agree with you in general. I think David Spade breaks the fourth wall a little bit too much, just because I think the show, like the whole franchise, is in a little bit of a precarious position where like the idea of all of this is fake, none of this matters, has maybe entered the water stream a little bit too much. And when he's saying stuff like, oh, let's go re-meet the people we've already met 20 times, I think it's funny. But I think it's funnier if he's just sort of like the peanut gallery providing weird commentary. I don't know if that does anything for David Spade in terms of like, would he agree to do that? But I think Like, they just need an authority figure. So they
you
need
want someone to play it straight. You want the straight man.
Yes. I want the straight man, and I think Wells can be the straight man. I also think we talked about this a while ago. JoJo's pretty good because she's just so beautiful, and that is real currency in this world. So I think people respect her. The other option, I think, is a British person. Uh-huh. Just because, like, I think the accent would confer authority.
A traditional presenter. Roger and I talked about that way back when the Chris Harrison news broke, and I was advocating for that as well.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't think, like, again, we, like, Chris Harrison did this for however long, and Chris Harrison is not exactly, like, you know, my idol of
but he was
prescribing
a good
how
man.
To do something. And he had an authority that was based on having been there for a long time. Right. And I don't think that that's that hard to accomplish. I truly think that a British accent would be an appropriate stand-in. And then David Spade can hang out and wear his sneakers and not know how to pop a champagne cork. And
that was
it'll
funny.
All be fantastic.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't really miss the host, but I don't know. Like, I'm so deep in this world, I'm gonna lose perspective. I really missed the host during Katie's season because I thought Caitlin and Tayshia was a good addition, like having confidants for the lead, but I didn't think they were great at sort of like facilitating the show. But that's interesting. Like, you want an outsider to like keep up the charade of like who's gonna find
the pageantry of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I love pageantry as well.
The ridiculous behavior is funnier when it's in sharper contrast to someone being like, well, you have to take this really seriously because this is forever.
Yeah.
And then it's, yeah, I think that's funny. The other thing that I thought was fantastic, though, just the breadth of reactions of the contestants to David Spade, from Abigail being so incredibly starstruck by David Spade that she like can't move. I mean, that was... I don't know what's going on there.
To Tammy calling him Dave and thinking it was Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, okay. So stock up, Tammy just being like, hi, Dave. But then stock down, Tammy not knowing who Dave Chappelle is.
I was like, have you even seen A Star Is Born, let alone The Chappelle Show? I mean, there's a lot to pick from here with Dave Chappelle. Or like, you know, he's just one of the most famous comics in America. I was happy to see Tammy. We'll talk more about her in a second. But let's move on to the central figure of this episode. Grocery Store Joe. I mean,
oh boy.
Stock down. Although I have to say, I was never really a fan, but I think I had like ended up in like a neutral position. It's very upsetting to me that this man is like a hot commodity in Bachelor Nation. I mean,
yeah.
What a poor performance. He was like, all it took was one girl being interested in him for him to change his mind and want to stay. I mean, what was going on there?
He is a talisman of like hot male mediocrity.
He's like, not even hot.
But people think he's hot.
Do you think he's hot?
I think he's very good looking. His personality like really ruins it for me, but he's an attractive man.
I guess so. I guess he's surprisingly tall. I think maybe in person I'd be more into him than on television.
He has like a beautiful smile.
Yeah, he's got a nice smile. It looks like he has more than 32 teeth when he smiles. You know, some people just look like they have like a lot more teeth like than they should.
Yeah.
Kind of. There were so many things about him. Like, first of all, what'd you think about his outfit and how looks like he came from the gym?
So I didn't notice it until it was pointed out.
Same.
But what I noticed was that once he was like, oh, maybe I should have changed. It's just, again, like men who are too good looking are very dangerous because their understanding of adversity is just incredibly warped. And all of a sudden he was deeply insecure based on like having been called out for wearing a t-shirt. Like, how many times did that happen to Katie? Like, he just needed to calm down.
I know. And then he didn't get a haircut, even though he was thinking about it. I mean, it's just like, dude, get a haircut before you go on national television.
Yeah. Or if you're not going to, then just like, you gotta be okay with it. You can't be knocked off your axis this easily.
I know. Seriously. And then I think his issue was he didn't really want to have to try hard. And I feel like he just was like... And then then Serena to the rescue. She really saved him by sort of being the like sort of outgoing and forward gal that she is. Like, she put in a lot of the work. So then he was like willing to stay because he just found his hookup buddy.
Yeah. And Serena seems like she loves to flirt, which I think is going to serve her very well here.
Definitely. I was interested in Serena being the sort of the hottest female commodity of the show. I was excited about that. Serena also stock up. I mean, feel like she's coming in with a big reputation. Also, shout out to her for being like,
I guess I'm the girl who sent the bachelor home. Like that. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but now I will.
That was a good PR move.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I was just like, okay, Serena, she's pretty fun. I did like her on The Bachelor quite a bit, so I wasn't surprised. Let's come back to Tammy for a second. Stock up for me as well. Sure. But what are your thoughts on Tammy? Do you even remember her from Peter? The girls from Peter's season, like, they might as well be from, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, seriously. They got screwed.
I remember nothing that she did on Peter's season. I will be very honest with you. I remembered, oh, that's Tammy. That's who that person is.
Tammy got like a mean girl edit. Maybe she is a mean girl. Maybe that's who she is. But she fought with, I think, Mykenna, who, by the way, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now it's all coming back to me now. Yes.
Yeah. She like had some fighting with Mykenna, who I think shows up later. And she like started out fun and like did a lot of funny like facial expressions, but then she got into a lot of fights. So I feel like, and then she like wouldn't apologize at the Women Tell All. So I feel like she's kind of had like a bad rep, but I enjoyed her a lot. I am definitely Team Tammy. I'm very pro.
And now you're speaking after watching this episode, or
I liked her anyway, but yeah, okay.
Cause now that you're saying this, I don't think I liked her.
I don't think
I liked her or Mykenna.
It was tough. Mykenna, I did not like either. I mean, they didn't come off well on Peter's season, but like, honestly, who did? But I don't know. She seems fun. And also, I'm really into Aaron. So I feel like that's a great couple.
Aaron is a beautiful man.
Beautiful. I think undeniable. He has a real swimmer's body.
Yeah.
The broad shoulders, skinny waist, just like Michael Phelps. Very handsome man.
Support it. Definitely support it.
On the topic of Peter's season, Kelsey, how'd you feel about her? Stock up or stock down? I think we gotta go stock down.
I mean, I was not the biggest fan then either, though. I don't know. It still seemed like she was, because she had that whole thing where she was sitting around. She hadn't really gone and talked to people. And she was like, I need to be more assertive. I need to go talk to people. I need to be more social or whatever. But it just seemed like there was already, something was already wrong. I also think that it seemed pretty clear that, and they have to mingle so much and there'll be new people that this will change, I'm sure. But like, it seemed like there was some immediate clickiness with the girls.
Oh, absolutely.
Like everybody separated into that one big group. And then Kelsey and who else? Kelsey and a couple other girls were just sort of sitting around like quietly themselves. And it didn't seem like it was going great.
Yeah, they didn't really know what to do with themselves. Kind of confused. Feel like it's not going to go great for her. Seems like she's probably going to go home.
Yeah. Well, she was just the one who night one was already getting. Yeah, she was already getting the thing where she was like, well, there's 10 guys and 13 girls, and you know, and maybe that's a harbinger that somebody's going to show up and she's going to.
And then Demi comes in. It's fucking 14 girls. More than Demi.
Sucks.
The Milka Magnesia thing was pretty funny, how she put it on her face. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what Milka Magnesium is.
Yeah. Magnesia.
Magnesia.
Milka Magnesia.
Milka Magnesia. I appreciated Wells saying it was a laxative. I was like, okay, thanks. But I don't really, so I'm sure it comes like in a different form as like a cream or something pre-based, but I thought that was really weird. But that's the kind of detail that I actually appreciate. It's like character building, you know? And I was thankful for that moment, though it was really silly.
Yeah. I wanted them to keep checking in with her just because, I mean, look, if it's really effective, like.
Yeah, I know. Tell us more. How do we all get that? That sounds great. We could all perhaps use that.
I was in a bridal suite. I was a bridesmaid in a wedding a couple weekends ago, and we're all sitting in the.
Your first wedding ever?
My second wedding.
Oh, your second wedding. Right.
But my first one being a member of the wedding party, and we're all sitting in the bridal suite. Everybody's getting their hair and makeup done. And one of my friends says in earshot of the makeup artist and the woman doing hair that antihistamines have anti-aging properties. Uh-huh. And like, if you've ever wanted to see just an entire room of women become instantly a Twitter, it was really it was really stunning. And that's what I was thinking of when Kelsey and Wells were having that exchange. Always here for a tip.
This has been discussed on the Ringer NFL show, but you hadn't been to a wedding ever before this summer, Nora?
I really hadn't. My first one was July 2nd of this year. And then by October 16th, I will have been to 5.
Oh,
I think,
God.
Okay, so I've gone through this a little bit. First of all, I think the thing that you have to understand is I've lived my entire life in the Northeast.
I think culturally there's some regional differences in terms of like when people on average get married.
Sure.
The other thing is, so one of my, there are two weddings in my family that I sort of could have gone to, but didn't. I had a cousin's wedding when I was in high school that I had a major conflict with that I would have gone to. And then I have an aunt who got married late in life and had just like a tiny, tiny, tiny wedding, and it was abroad and I didn't go. So I didn't go to either of those weddings.
So you missed
those
two family weddings.
Two opportunities.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Beyond that, there's just nothing. Like my friends who, so the first wedding that I went to in July, family friend.
Okay.
And then the one that I was a bridesmaid in.
Right. Your mom's plus one for your first wedding
ever.
Yeah,
my mom's plus one. Yeah. It was very fun. We danced a lot. We had a good time. It's at an orchid farm in Santa Barbara. Like,
oh, incredible.
On.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Great venue.
The more recent one that I was a bridesmaid in, that's my first married friend.
Wow.
Like, I don't know anybody else who has a husband.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 27.
Okay.
But again,
yeah, it's coming again, for you now. It's coming for you now.
Again, yeah. The tally will have gone from 0 to 5 in less than 3 months.
Right. Okay.
And they're not slowing down after that. So I when it rains, it pours.
Weddings are really fun. I mean, I'm happy for you. The only thing is they get expensive.
I love weddings.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yes.
They're really fun. They get expensive. And then you like end up losing Memorial Day weekend for like 5 years in a row to weddings. You know what? If you're a friend and you're planning a wedding, like if you have a single friend in this world that you plan to invite to your wedding, just don't get married on a holiday weekend. People find it really annoying. It's not cool.
Yeah.
So just stay away. Labor Day, Memorial Day, July 4th. Just say no to those wedding weekends, people.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the show. Well, also, I'm happy for you. I feel like also maybe The Bachelor has more resonance now that you've been to a wedding and you can see what it's supposed to amount to. You know,
love is in the air.
Let's talk about Ivan, who you are a fan of. I am a fan of. How do you feel about him on this premiere?
I mean, so I love Ivan. Like nothing was going to sway me from Ivan. This wasn't like my peak Ivan. Like I love the man. And again, nothing is going to change that. He seemed a little into the game of it. Like he was very interested in providing commentary about like, oh, I think this is happening. I think this is happening. Oh, this person's going to get a lot of attention, like blah, 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 blah. But as someone, so and normally that would not be for me. I'd just be like, come on, man, just go talk to people.
Play it cool.
However, as he is a chess master, I'm going to ascribe that to his strategic brain, being incapable of thinking in a less analytical way.
And sure.
I think that
is fair. He's like a pretty like, he's seemingly smart and practical guy. I will say stock down for me on Ivan just because it was so high. There was really no room for it to go up. But a couple things really stood out to me. First of all, when I interviewed Ivan, there was a real swagger and confidence that Serena P immediately called out. And I do feel like we're seeing more of the like really confident Ivan than we did on The Bachelorette, which I think I'm into. I like that, actually. Yeah. The other thing, number two, that really surprised me was when Ivan said more than anything, he's ready to have kids. And I was like, oh, interesting. And that's just not something that we get very often from the men who come on these shows. And I did like that, but I guess I was just sort of surprised. And I was just like, okay, so he's like really like looking for his person, which, you know, for very frequently for dating to be successful, you got to put effort into it and like really like, you know, wanted to happen. But I guess I was just sort of like, is he just seeing this as like a means to an end to becoming a father? Because that was what he said he really wanted. Like maybe he should adopt.
He's just so good with he looks like he's so good with the little kids in his family.
Yeah, his niece. Yeah. Kalani. That was surprising to me. But yeah, I think that Ivan is like a little bit too much of like spent the last 6 months online and sort of like aware of like how things go. Also, I think I mentioned this previously, but Ivan like didn't want to go to paradise because he thought he would have a girlfriend by then. So I feel like he's just really on the prowl, which on the one hand, I feel like that bodes well. It's like you tend to find someone when you are like putting work into it. But on the other hand, it's like maybe he's going to be trying too hard and the women will be turned off and he'll be like the try hard of paradise.
I don't think so.
I liked his
Ivan's going to be a commodity.
He's just I'm really pro Ivan. He's definitely my, if I were on the beach, he'd be my top pick if I were there.
Yeah.
Next, Noah, who's really good friends with Ivan. It seems like they're like BFF. They're currently hanging out together in Oklahoma per Instagram.
Yeah,
Yeah. I think I have to be, I think I'm borderline ready to say stock up for Noah, who I could not stand.
He's definitely stock up for me.
I'm withholding that just for a little, because while Abigail was being weird on their date and just like very blank and withholding, he was putting words in her mouth so much. Like sometimes he seems, sometimes he has like a little, just a smidge of like, he seems like a little serial killer-y. He's like, well, I think that you think this, or you must be, you know what? I think that you're someone who just needs to like, it just seemed a little weird to me. I didn't love that. If somebody did that to me on a date, I would not be pleased.
I wouldn't be pleased either, but I also think she was being super weird. Here's why I'm pro Noah. I had a pretty low estimation of him, so there was room to go up. It's like the opposite of the Ivan problem. I thought the way that he spoke about Abigail to David Spade was like pretty sweet and like also like pretty normal. Like I liked how he was like, I'm a nurse. And, you know, yes. I like he was excited about her because of like, you know, because of like things they could share and whatnot. I thought that was like really sweet. Their date was kind of weird, but Abigail stalked down when she was like, it takes a really long time for me to even like call someone my boyfriend or whatever, or like, you know, my friend zone people really quickly. I'm just like, why'd you go on The Bachelor then? Because that's the opposite of what happens here. That didn't make any sense.
I think there would have been a way for her to say that stuff and just like make it sort of almost like a way of flirting. Like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes this takes me a really long time. Like, who's to say?
Might have to work for it.
It just seemed very weird. Yeah. Like the way that she was saying it translated as like, you and I would have to wait until after this show is over to have a relationship that I would willingly define.
I think it's kind of like lucky for us, the viewer, that he took that almost more as like a challenge rather than like, oh, I should back off, which also maybe is a strike for Noah. Like maybe that's just like, dude, calm down.
Yeah. I mean, and again, so one of these things has to give, right? But like, I did find him, he seemed to be very much like, oh, I can fix you, which to me is unattractive. But then again, she was also like, I have this set of very strange preferences that is completely incongruent with what we're supposedly doing here. So one of them's got to be a little off base.
I'm going to chalk it up to him being a nurse and a caregiver. I feel like he's like, likes to take care of people. He's a traveling nurse after all, which is like you go to people's homes or wherever and take care of them. It's like, that's like a challenging good job. So I feel like you have a very specific personality for it. I don't know. I just didn't see Noah being like the most thoughtful intro that we got on the beach. And yet he was. So Noah, great job.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Is it time to talk about Kenny?
Oh, boy. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's talk about naked Kenny.
How long do you think Kenny was naked for? And as I said, Kenny is neither stock up nor stock down. I'm just confused. How long was he naked for?
I think he was naked for a really long time. Because at one point when they put Serena's sarong on mm-hmm. him. They then went, there was footage after that point in the episode where Serena was wearing her sarong, quote unquote, again. Now, I don't think in the actual, my guess is that in the actual timeline of them filming it, that was not again. It was like, yeah. there was one portion and then, yeah. then he put the sarong on because I won't speak for Serena. I were the one lending the sarong is not going back on for me.
Straight into the laundry.
Yeah. At least not until it is thoroughly laundered, potentially with bleach. So there had to have been at least like two portions of the day evening where the sarong had gone unlent. Mm. So it seemed like he was naked for a good bit.
I was just really confused about the timeline of this episode. Like, was it all just the first day? Like, is that possible? I guess it was, but it didn't seem like
because it got so dark.
Yeah, I was just like, is this 2 days? But no, I guess it was just all the first day. He had to have been naked for absolutely hours. And also, I think for continuity purposes, they probably were like, please stay naked in case, like, to, like, you know, piece things together.
Yeah.
I also wonder if he was completely naked, but he probably was.
I mean, at that point,
I kind of liked him and Mari together. I liked also when he was like, I don't know. And she's like, what do you like to do in Chicago? And he was like, I don't know, drink coffee and watch Netflix. I was just like, me too. I was like, that's what I do. In fact, I like to sit at my puzzle table, work on a jigsaw puzzle, drink coffee and watch a show on my iPad, which is how I watch this show the second time. The first time I was more locked really? In. So
Yeah, that's one of those moments when sort of the mirror turns on you where he says that. And I'm like, God, what a lame answer. Hey, I think Nora, what do you do during your spare time?
He said, have coffee and chill, excuse me, which I really enjoy because it's sort of like he doesn't need the and chill part to come like at night. You know, it's just like he's like, I'm 40. I'm naked all the time, I guess. He's just like, have coffee and chill. I thought it was really funny.
Wait, speaking of. I did not understand the portion of the Kenny's naked narrative that was somehow connected with him being 40, but not looking it. Like, I don't mean this in a Kenny looks bad way. Kenny looks fine, but like he Kenny could fine. Be 40.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Kenny could be a 40-year-old who's in great shape.
Right. He
just strange
looks,
to me.
It was super weird. But I kind of him and Mari never would have guessed that, but they seemed kind of sweet together. I was into it when he was like excited that she's dated someone 15 years older than him. I was happy for him. I don't know. I think I want happiness for Kenny and for Mari. I was really yeah. I thought she deserved a lot more time on Matt's season. So I was glad that she's getting some now. I liked her.
Yeah.
Good.
It
good
also
for them.
Seemed like a couple of the girls were like, oh, that makes sense. That works.
Right. I feel like we really didn't get to know Mari. Hopefully we will now. Let's talk about Taj Juan, who hooked up with Trey and Trey's uncle, his mother's brother, as he explained. That's an incredible turn of events. The fact that Trey was still interested in hooking up with her, knowing that she hooked up with his uncle. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Stock up or stock down for Trey?
I think it's stock down for Trey and for Trey's uncle. Frankly, for Trey's uncle, the worst kisser.
Oh my god,
she was like, "Oh, Trey's
huge L for Trey's uncle." I mean, this whole episode,
huge L for Trey's uncle. But I also think it's like a smaller L for Trey. But I just don't think you want to be part of a narrative that includes blood relatives,
especially
on Bachelor in Paradise,
being like. Making out with her after she's hooked up with the uncle is just sort of like, do you really want to go there? That's just really weird. Obviously, we need so much more information. Like, Taj Juan, please, please get in touch and tell us what happened here. I would say
she
for Taj
was really
Juan,
funny about it, too. Like, she just kept bringing it up
all the way up. So she talked to told anyone who would listen. She was like, oh, I know that guy. I feel like they were trying to give her the Claire edit with like her and the bug, but it obviously because she was so hot last time when she was on the show, but like physically like overheated. But
yeah,
she's just sort of like too funny that like it's just not going to work. It's just sort of like, no, like we need more Taj Juan. I really enjoyed her. She was the best comic relief of the episode. And this thing with the uncle, we couldn't have asked for more. Thank you so much.
I loved her. I put a lot of notes down about her and so the first one just says, okay, it says, Taj Juan, the girl who overheated.
And then I said, yeah, but we all have our triggers. Mine is sleep or no exercise. She's allowed. And then I thought she looks great. I thought it was a plus for her that she identified Ivan as a winner, like as we all should. And then when she said that there was a fiesta in her pantaloons.
Oh, my God.
That
so
was
funny
to me. That was like a very Rob Gronkowski Yo Soy Fiesta moment. I just and then my last note just says I like her. Like
me
I,
too. Me
I
too.
Thought she's great.
She was like a breath of fresh air. She was funny. I mean, she was giving us everything we wanted. I will say no one embodies the opposite of that for me more than Demi, who I just like do not want to have on this show. I was so unexcited when she arrived. She's like the Deus Ex Machina of Bachelor in Paradise. Last time she imported her girlfriend who no one knew. She wasn't famous. Now she's just like coming for all the men. Like I just find her sort of like she's like the Terminator of Paradise. She just sort of like comes in and like she's like a mercenary. And I don't care for it. She's not fun to me.
Yeah, she was hitting on David Spade in a way that made me uncomfortable.
I would prefer her to hook up with David Spade than anyone else on the entire show. That would be better.
That's true.
Let's take Demi out of the mix and just pair her off with David Spade. That'd be a great twist.
Well, yeah. And it's just, again, like she is one of those people where the entire presence on the show just feels very like she wants
forced.
To be an influencer. She wants to be famous. It's very
forced. It's contrived.
Not like,
yeah.
Yeah. And again, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But if it leads to like a performance that's bad, then it's dull. This is sort of a tangent just because we were talking about David Spade. It made me think of it. That moment where he's reconnecting with Wells to kind of get the lowdown. And he just goes, Wellsy, my boy. And Wells goes, Spade. Like that. I loved that. That was great.
I loved
for
it
me.
Too. They're good together. Spade has elevated Wells and Spade has elevated the role of bartender on Bachelor in Paradise. So, you know, he's a man of many gifts. Who knew?
I just think he should be the bartender, but we did this already.
Yeah. Noted, Nora. Noted. Someone else who confused me, Brendan. I'm just like very confused. I distinctly recall in May being at my computer and being like, oh, Piper and Brendan are dating. And then this film's in June, early June. Brendan shows up. He's like one of the lead characters just talking about how he's ready to look for love. And it's like, yeah, we know. We read about it in Us. And I'm just like, Brendan, what are you doing? You've got a girlfriend or you just did. Everyone knows her. It's Piper. Just like really confused. And then I think Piper, we see her in the scene, in the teaser at the end of the episode. So it's just like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah. So I will be honest with you. That's interesting to me that you were invested in them dating, Brendan and Piper dating to the point that it influences this. Because when I watched this episode, I was like, oh my gosh, what a feather in the cap of Brendo stands everywhere.
I love that. Brendo.
Like, I had not seen it until this episode. I get why people like him now. Like, I get why he's sort of a hot commodity.
Oh, yeah. I've always been a Brendo stan. I think
that did not make a lot of sense to me before. It makes sense to me now.
First of all, he's just like so many things that I wouldn't expect to come together. I don't know. He's like the voice and the face and the personality are just like all so disparate. And it's just like a kind of an intriguing, confusing package. And he has the most beautiful blue eyes, like piercingly beautiful. So
it just was, it was really revealing to see all of those women be like, Brendo. I mean, they were calling him Brendan. But
yeah, we call Brendo. Him Brendo here. I love Brendo. I'm happy he's back. I have to say one of the highs of this Bachelor in Paradise is that like the women of Matt season were awesome and the men of Tayshia season were awesome. So I'm just like really glad to be back with them. It's like, oh, great. The people I actually like, thank God Katie and Blake are gone. I'm like, yes. Serena P. Wonderful. Brendan. Great. Ivan. Yes. Like, I'm so happy to see all these people. So that's great. Wasn't happy to see Victoria, no longer the queen, now the goddess and blonde. Victoria, it goes without saying, stock is in the toilet. We'll never be buying. Sell. We hate Victoria.
Yeah, I really didn't know that she could add like another negative cliche about women to her sort of personal iconography. But the sort of faux spirituality stuff getting wrapped up into the
ego and the pettiness and the weird combination of arrogance and like deep set seeming insecure. It's a very, very, very hard no for me.
She sucks. I just have like no idea what to say about her otherwise.
Yeah, I really, it's also just like, she wasn't, sorry, this is mean, but like she wasn't smart enough to be handed an opportunity for a redemption narrative that she absolutely does not deserve and did absolutely nothing with it. Like learned zero, apparently. Like no.
Yeah, I just completely not interested in like getting to know Victoria more or like finding out that she's actually got a heart of gold. I know she doesn't because of the way she's behaved and continues to behave. Side note, have you watched F-Boy Island?
No, I haven't.
I think you'll like it. It's
yeah,
really fun.
I want to.
It's really fun. There's three women on it who are like the three leads. And the one who's sort of the most like ostentatious, overtly sexual, her name is CJ. She and Victoria apparently are friends and like we're Instagramming together. So that's a knock on CJ. Who actually seems like a fairly complex person if you peel back the layers, but I've judged her for being friends with Victoria. And also some of her behavior on F-Boy Island I do not approve of. But nevertheless, watch the show. It's really good. And honestly, I think you'll enjoy it. It combines a lot of good things. Moving on. Connor B. Cat Guy.
Boo.
Another one who I didn't know he could get worse. I don't want to hear him sing ever again. No thanks.
Never.
Put the guitar down, man. It's also like going to get warped in paradise. It's bad for the wood. It's muggy, as we heard from Joe.
He presents to me as such a deeply non-sexual being.
I know. But, you know, he was making out. Good for them, I guess.
So upsetting to me.
He just seems so annoying. He's the type of... Yes. He seems really needy also. I don't care for him. I guess I'm happy for him, though, that someone said he's a good kisser.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like him and I would like Carl off of my television screen.
Carl.
Like these shows need foils, but some of these foils are so, it is like nails on a chalkboard watching either of those people interact with other humans.
Yeah, I understand. Stock up the ocean. This is the first time I can recall people have gone in the ocean by choice, not trying to evade the cameras or like trying to secretly have sex. So I thought that was big. And I've always wondered why they didn't go in the water before. So I was just excited about that.
I mean, probably happy to be traveling.
Oh my God.
Totally. A nice trip.
Also, this was filmed in June. And I feel like in June, everyone thought COVID, it's over. And, you know, Tammy was like, we're all vaxxed. So like, we're all good to go. So everyone was probably had really high spirits or just like ready to have their hot vax summer, get it started in Mexico. You know, I was happy.
Jump in the water.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron, any change? Didn't really get a lot of Aaron, although I was just happy he's making out. So he'll be sticking around. I guess he'll be fighting in the future with Ivan.
He's visually very appealing. And I would like to know more.
Me too.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Natasha, friend of the pod, Natasha. For me, it's a real no change, but it's also because I know her though. So I'm just sort of like, I don't know. I have more to judge on because I've like hung out with her IRL.
Yeah. So this is, I think that's the right rating. I will say I have a meaningless but important to me question.
Okay.
Was that black outfit? Was that a bathing suit? Or was
I think
that
it was.
Okay. I thought she looked awesome.
Awesome. I was going to say best dressed by far. Natasha loved her bathing suit, fit perfectly. She looked like high end while also being appropriately beachy. She like walked out of like a bathing suit ad. She looked amazing.
She looked incredible. And it gave me a split second of, does she look incredible because she's actually secretly wearing like cocktail attire to the beach? But was in fact truly a bathing suit.
Yeah, I think the only reason that before.
The only reason that I think I thought that is because she's just like so beautiful and has such an amazing body that I was like, okay, look, if I were to even approximate that, like there would be Spanx involved. So I was like, this must be some sort of cocktail dress. Like what's going on here? It's like, are you wearing a bathing suit right now?
She looked amazing. She also looked really classy. She looked really classy. I was blown away. I had the same thought. I was like, wow, she's just like absolutely crushing it. I was really impressed.
And she just seems fun and sort of silly.
Natasha's great. I'm a big fan. Do you know? Like I said, friend of the pod. Interestingly, Natasha and Joe have a podcast together. And it's called Clickbait, Bachelor Nation. They have it with Tayshia. I think they recorded it while they were there because they never stopped recording it as far as I can recall in the month of June. I mean, Katie's season was ongoing. I got press releases every week about Bachelor Nation's clickbait podcast. So I'm kind of curious how that happened. Same thing with Becca Kufrin, because Becca, as we know, shows up and Becca is the host of Bachelor right. Happy Hour. She never stepped back from that. So I was kind of thinking about, like, in the sort of back to where we started, the sort of like meta conversation. Like, it's interesting there how I'm curious how they're going to cover that on their pods, because it's sort of like a real, it's coming from inside the house, it's coming from inside the show situation where it's like, okay, so you guys were podcasting while you were there? Like, did you get the episodes? I have so many questions about how that worked. And I also was wondering if, like, Joe and Natasha's friendship will be, like, acknowledged because they are also, like, colleagues. I know they like each other from working on the pod. So I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out. So, interesting wrinkle.
I can see how that would be good together, because Natasha has an actual personality and Joe is just a blank canvas.
Yeah, totally. And I think he is funny. She has said that on the pod. He's had some levity and whatnot. I think you just needed to open up. I mean, this is the most I've ever heard Joe talk. So no shots. I don't listen to their podcast. So I was like, oh, okay. He talks a lot more than he used to. So that's cool. I was happy for him. I don't know.
I'm happy for Joe too. I just think he seems bland.
Yeah. I think he seems super boring, but he's not for me, but that's okay. I don't know. It's an interesting mishmash of people.
Yeah.
Just this whole cast. Like, I was surprised by that kind of, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what I was exactly expecting, but I do feel like it's just a very wide swath of Bachelor Nation people. So I don't know, but I'm really into it. I have to say, for me, the stars are Tajwan and Tammy so far. And Noah, weirdly, I'm really excited to see where this all goes.
Same. Same people, but I really am also having a real moment with Brendo.
Brendo.
And I think, like, they gave him that extended outdoor shower.
It's a good sign.
Montage.
Like, it's a good sign.
That told me that Brendo is he's in on the joke. Like, I think Brendo knows that he's a hot commodity. And
oh, definitely.
I support that for him.
I think he clearly is going to be a big part of the season. So I'm pretty excited.
And Ivan
excited.
Was like, he's a sniper. Like,
I know.
It just seems like everybody. Yeah.
I need to see Brendan out socially to see what he's like, because he definitely came off as sort of like sheepish, timid, like really, really hot guy, but not like a pursuer. And I think perhaps we were sold a false bill of goods. Like, I think actually maybe Brendan is an absolute charmer with those baby blues.
I think that might be right. And yeah, so that's one that I'm really curious to see play out. And he's also just sort of, he is funny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just reading through things that I thought were funny. And when he was like muttering under his breath when Kenny was naked and was like, you want to put shorts on like at some point? Like, that was very funny.
Totally. I hope that we get to see Brendo and Dr. Joe's friendship when Dr. Joe shows up.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Even against your instruction.
He didn't listen to me. I pled with the man not to do it. And yet here we are. I think I also asked Ivan to not go. And yet, whatever. I'm happy for both of them. I hope they had a great time in paradise. You know, that's the main thing. So many more people are going to come in. I can't wait to find out about it. Also, like, Serena showed up and, like, we didn't get any Serena time. Serena C.
Right.
Like, there was a lot of people we didn't hear from at all. Like, Marissa and DeAndre, we barely heard from them. Like,
yeah.
At a certain point, they just abandoned the entrances, which, like, I understand, similar to how they did The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. But, like, I kind of feel like I need, like, a scorecard at the beginning and end of each episode.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there was just a lot that happened.
I know.
It was a lot of little bites.
Anything else in your notes that you were like, this is really good? I love it.
That was like, this is really good. I love it.
Or just kind of like the funny little bites. Because that is okay, what Paradise is good for.
Again, when Carl yelled, find me a wife into camera, it's a no for me.
Carl also reminds me of Josh Baskin. Like, he's like in the movie Big. Like, Carl's like a 13-year-old who's invaded an adult's body. And we're just like, how old are you? Are we sure you're supposed to be here?
Well, and who did he ask their name and then was like, what, didn't say his name? And yeah, he acts like a teenager. It seems like he's very invested in like negging people. It's not fun for me.
It's like, have you ever actually spoken to a woman? It's unclear.
I think the answer might be no. wait. Oh,
Oh, this I needed to talk to you about. Am I just out of the loop? The senior bachelor?
Yes,
that they're trying to cast?
That's coming. They had announced that a while ago. I think COVID put it on the back burner. I think senior is like 55. I don't think it's like 75, but I just love reality shows with older people. Me too. Yeah. The best episode of Dating Around is one with Leonard, the older guy. So I'm really pumped. It'll be great.
I don't know if I knew about that and then forgot, but that was a real moment for me when they promoted that.
I'm really excited. I think that'll be really good. It'll also just be different. That's the kind of thing that we need. It's going to be great. Yeah.
Agreed.
Can't wait for more Paradise. Starting next week, two episodes, Mondays and Tuesdays. So this pod will be coming Tuesday nights and Thursdays. We'll do one fell swoop of Paradise on Tuesdays and then, you know, hash it out on Thursdays as per usual. Don't forget to check out the new Ringer Reality TV podcast. I'm on there. Johnny Bananas, Amelia Wedemeyer, Nora, we're going to get you on there some capacity too. I mean, see, I'm excited. Just wrapped, but we'll figure it out. I've got high hopes. Check out Nora on the Ringer NFL show. Thank you to Kai McMullen for producing this episode, and I'll be back on Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.